Thursday, May 24th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, despite the Trump administration eagerly hoping that North Korea would do something dramatic or pull out of the summit themselves, today Trump officially canceled the summit with North Korea. Who would have guessed? Citing tremendous anger and open hostility. Oh, does he mean John Bolton, you might ask? No, he's referring to one statement made by Kim Jong-un after Bolton and Pence openly sabotaged the meeting with hostility and terms like Libyan model, or threats of actually turning them into Libya, or even calling to preemptively nuke the country, as Bolton has done fervently numerous times in the recent past. You see, North Korea has taken leaps and bounds, incredibly, offering to do everything the U.S. has asked, and yet one statement, one return statement calling out John Bolton and Mike Pence's openly hostile attitude and warmongering rhetoric, and Kim is the angry, hostile one. Just as I told you from the beginning, they never wanted this meeting. They were hoping for more aggressive actions from Kim, like we've seen in the past, in response to the recent war drills, let's say, that were absurd in their own right during a peace process, in order to use it to point to North Korea and say, see, they're the ones. But instead, they got peace between the Koreas. And they can't have that. So they sent their leading resident war hawk to send Kim a very specific message. And even then, when all they got was Kim calling him out for it, they just decided to take it. How dare those North Koreans call it like it is and expose Bolton as the lunatic he is? And clearly the open threats made by Pence following that really put it over the edge, calling him a political dummy. Well, if the U.S. actually wanted peace, then I agree with that assessment. Political dummy, unbridled and imprudent. This is tremendous anger and open hostility. Come on, especially when what we see on the other side is quite literally open hostility and aggressive threats. They are really embracing that old saying, accuse the opposition of that which you are guilty. Classic social programming and propaganda tactics. Just like Trump to allow a personal slight, not even to him, to stop an international peace process. Even more revealing is the fact that just this morning, an exclusive with Fox, Trump said that the U.S. might endorse a more gradual process of denuclearization, clearly still at least pretending to look for peace, even though the comments from North Korea were already made. Then just a few hours later, he released this statement directed at North Korea. We greatly appreciate your time, patience, and effort with respect to our recent negotiations and discussions relative to a summit long sought by both parties, which was scheduled to take place on June 12th in Singapore. We were informed that the meeting was requested by North Korea, but that to us is totally irrelevant. I was very much looking forward to being there with you. Sadly, based on the tremendous anger and open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, I feel that it is inappropriate at this time to have this long-planned meeting. Therefore, please let this letter serve to represent that the Singapore summit, for the good of both parties, but the detriment of the world, will not take place. Interesting statement there, as if to say that the interests of the United States are counter to the interests of the world. I could maybe agree with that, but it's very interesting to see him say that. You talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used. Clearly a veiled threat, as we can expect in these kind of things from Donald Trump. I feel a wonderful dialogue was building up between you and me, and ultimately, it is only that dialogue that matters. Someday, I look very much forward to meeting you. In the meantime, I want to thank you for the release of the hostages who are now home with their families. That was a beautiful gesture and was very much appreciated. If you change your mind having to do with this most important summit, please do not hesitate to call me or write. Change his mind. That's, again, this is what I'm talking about with this obvious yet social programming. He didn't change his mind. That's just a ridiculous statement, as if to say that he's the one that decided to pull out of the summit. Yes, they're claiming his words were what caused Trump to pull out of the summit, but the only person changing their mind here is Donald Trump. The world and North Korea in particular has lost a great opportunity for lasting peace and great prosperity and wealth. This missed opportunity is a truly sad moment in history. With that, I absolutely agree. His speech following the statement's release was focused on denuclearization, as if they had not offered to do so many, many times in the past. again, clearly trying to control the perception of what's happening here, as if it's somehow North Korea's fault that Donald Trump is pulling out of this summit because of some statements that were made, regardless of them still wanting to move forward. Interestingly and revealingly enough, simultaneously, Mattis was across the country telling Air Force Academy graduates to prepare for war, literally, that a war is coming. Now, you could make the argument that they came to this decision, and that's why he was made aware of what was happening, and that's why he said that, or that he's just trying to rile them up, which is, you know, propagandistic in its own right. So either Trump is just being moved around as a game piece and has no idea what's really going on, as his closest advisors clearly had no intentions of fighting for peace, or he was aware all along that peace was never the plan. Either way, we must see what's really going on here. As I said from the beginning, they would make sure that this never came to pass. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com. U.S. sanctions Iranian airlines, risking more European anger. In the second round of sanctions announced this week, the Treasury Department on Thursday said it would impose sanctions on several Iranian and Turkish companies, as well as aircraft connected to those companies, in a move that targets four Iranian airlines. The sanctions were levied against nine individuals and entities for, quote, procuring export-controlled U.S. origin goods for sanctioned Iranian airlines. The Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control also found 31 aircraft in which the sanctioned entities have an interest. The sanctions were levied against companies for, quote, procuring parts and providing services for the fleets of sanctioned Iranian airlines, including Mahan Air, Caspian Air, Mirage Air, and Poya Air. The United States said the airlines had transported weapons, fighters, and money to proxies in Syria and Lebanon. Ah, so the truth comes out of what this is really about. Washington also threatened sanctions for others granting landing rights and providing services to the aircraft. Now, first, it's important to continue to reiterate the fact that everybody else is standing against what the U.S. is trying to do here with these sanctions and pulling out of the nuclear deal. So it's ridiculous that they're still moving forward. It just goes to show you that it has nothing to do with what the world collectively thinks is right. It's about what the U.S. wants to do for geopolitical reasons and for financial reasons and just for control reasons. But yet they're still moving forward with these sanctions, which is ridiculous. And clearly, this has to do with them bringing supplies and money and arms to their legal proxy armies in Syria, which they're allowed to be there. Yet the U.S. doesn't want that to happen because it stands against their efforts in Syria. And perfectly rolling into the next story coming from theantimedia.com, Damascus rejects U.S. demand that Iranian forces must leave Syria. Syrian Deputy Foreign Minister Faisal Makkad said the matter isn't even up for discussion, noting that the decision, quote, concerns the sovereignty of Syria. He added Syrian's government is grateful for the help of Iranian military advisors as well as Russian troops. Makkad further faulted the U.S. for its continued intervention in Syria and its, quote, support of terrorists in Syria and elsewhere. The U.S. has troops within Syria right this moment, but those troops are not invited by the Syrian government. It is an illegal occupation. There's no other way to look at it. And that's even been acknowledged by the U.N. and pretty much everybody else that can look at it that's not on the side of the U.S. in regard to its foreign policy efforts in Syria, specifically Saudi Arabia, Israel. The U.S. demands for an Iranian pullout likely centers on the major Israeli goal in Syria, which we talked about in Golan Heights and many other things that are playing out around that. Israel has repeatedly attacked Syria in recent months, unprovoked, which he pointed out and proven many times over, and insists that it is doing so to stop Iran from having a foothold in Syria. So they're pretty much laying their naked aggression out and showing you what they're trying to accomplish just under the guise that Iran is some kind of evil state that's trying to murder the world. That's kind of the rhetoric they go with in regard to Palestine as well. It's about good versus evil, which, like I said yesterday, it's a very childlike way to view the world, and that's really not what's taking place. But we have to understand the legality here of the U.S. telling people where they can be in the world despite the fact that the country of origin is allowing them to be there. And that's a big deal to see the U.S. stand against that, especially more so seeing that the rest of the world is beginning to kind of go, whoa, okay, you guys are getting out of control. We're not really going to stand with you in this regard, but they're moving forward anyway. That says a lot. Moving on to the next story coming from fair.org. Media delegitimized Venezuelan elections amid complete unanimity of outlook. This is a very interesting article that I highly recommend you read, as all of them. But this one specifically goes, you know, point by point and shows the absolute coordination almost amongst all of these outlets and the same language, the same words, the same sentence structure, and specifically the exact same message. The recent Venezuelan election was watched by over 150 international observers from over 40 countries who all verified its legitimacy. However, Western Mockingbird media has taken an entirely different outlook to the proceedings, unanimously presenting them as seriously flawed at best, and at worst, a complete sham presided over by a dictator, which is clearly the government propaganda being relayed verbatim by these outlets. Now, these papers, these you know, supposed newspapers pretending to be news outlets claim to have responsibilities to deliver both sides of an argument, not aggressively and cooperatively push what they see as the truth, or worse yet, what they're told to report as the truth. Yet here they are doing exactly that in near unison. But this is nothing new, but it's still important to report on this nonetheless, because these things, for both those that may not believe it, and just to make sure that we're all have good examples to share of how real this is getting and how coordinated it is. It's shocking to see. Now, the worst and usual suspects often tend to be the mainstream TV channels, but when we see the papers come out as well in such force, ignoring all the facts to push its message, there can be no clearer example of what they truly are. And that's why it's important to demonstrate. Clearly, Mockingbird Media could not sum it up any better. For the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, rank and file FBI agents sickened by Comey and McCabe want to come forward to testify. This is just a quick one I want to run over again because this one is something I tweeted about yesterday, and I think it's important to touch on this because I have no doubt that there are good people in every institution. I mean, that's my lofty hope. Maybe not today. As I often say, a lot of the worst people gravitate towards these positions of control. But I would like to believe that there's good people in every institution, police, FBI, CIA, whatever. There's probably at least a few people that actually still believe in this American ideal. But what we're seeing here, in my opinion, I make sure to be very clear, this is my opinion of what I'm seeing, is that this is the FBI throwing them under the bus to salvage its already basically horseshit credibility. And they continue to show us just how deceptive and how dirty they really are. Whether we're talking about creating these terrorist acts and then pretending to stop them or any number of points that we've talked about in the past. But what we're seeing here is essentially them just kind of saying, oh, well, yeah, they're an isolated event. Like I said, they're like, please don't give us the bad apple analogy once again, claiming that it's them and not the institution. But really what we're seeing here is that this is exactly what the FBI is. This is exactly what the FBI does. Speaking on Comey and McCabe, that's what the FBI is. So what we're seeing here, having them step forward and you know, testify, I want to show everybody that this isn't really the FBI. This is just them with their partisan personal beliefs. I don't believe it for a second. Now, again, that's my opinion. Read everything up on this and take the opinion, you know, make up your own conclusions, come to what you think is really happening. But I think it's pretty damn clear based on the history of the organization that this is exactly the kind of thing that they carry out. And to think for one second that it was just those two that planted somebody in Trump's campaign, that manipulated, you know, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the point is that it's almost naive to think that it was just a couple of people involved in this massive campaign to manipulate the way people see things. I doubt it. So take that for what you will, and just don't be swayed by the people that they're basically telling to get up and testify, as I see it. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com, dramatic details emerge after federal probe opens in Harvey Weinstein case. Now, this was a story that I wasn't really going to report on, but there are two important points that I have to make here. Now, in addition to the federal probe, just today it was announced that Weinstein will now essentially turn himself into authorities on Friday. After only 6 months later, as if in hopes that he would run away like Roman Polanski, and I still love how it's on his terms, right? Like, okay, I'll see you Friday when I get my affairs in order. This would never be the case for an average American. That's the we have to see that, the difference there. And it's important to understand here that the NYPD for months has been calling for Weinstein's arrest, saying that they've had enough evidence for a long time to charge him for sexual abuse in two separate cases, and even publicly stated as much many times. Yet they were told to wait for approval from Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr., whose office has been criticized for not previously charging Weinstein after allegations were brought against him in 2015. Now, it should be noted that they were possibly simply wanting to wait in order to build a stronger case, a federal case. And to some degree, I do get that. But the point here is that if any one of us were in this position, we would have been in jail before the first girl finished telling her story to the police. It just explicitly shows us just how different the laws are for the rich and powerful. Usually that there are none, essentially, unless they get sacrificed by the ruling families to appease the restless serfs, as is clearly happening to Weinstein, in hopes that we stop taking notice that everyone ignored his actions thus far, because they are wildly common in the first place. But everyone, look, he's being arrested. We're on your side, so go back to sleep. We just have to begin to see how easily people are swayed by these kind of release valve efforts. And that's pretty much everything else around this story, I think, is in a way kind of a distraction. But in my opinion, the most important aspect is that this shows us how different it is between the regular people and those in the rich and powerful. And we need to understand that the real sinister actions go way deeper than Weinstein raping girls and manipulating them. The real sinister story here goes well, well darker than just that. It goes into trafficking and pedophilia and things that we've talked about many times over. So in a lot of ways, this story could also be trying to cover that. So we think something's happening when in reality, it's business as usual in Hollywood and all the elite circles. Moving on to the next story and the final story of the day, coming from the freethoughtproject.com. Family removes Alexa devices after a stranger in another town heard everything they were saying. In Portland, Oregon, a concerned family is speaking out after they claim their Amazon Alexa device recorded a conversation they were having in their home and sent it to a random contact who alerted them to the fact that they had heard everything they had said. A homeowner named Danielle, who asked for her last name to remain anonymous, told the local news that she and her husband were in their house discussing home improvement projects and hardwood floors when they received an urgent call from one of her husband's employees in Seattle. The employee sent the couple the email that he had received with the audio files, and Danielle confirmed it was, in fact, a direct recording of their conversation. She said that Amazon Alexa had access to every room in her house because it controlled the heating, the lighting, and her security system in their home. She said, quote, "My husband and I would joke and say, I bet the devices are listening to what we're saying, noting that they never imagined the smart device would record their private conversations and make them public." Which is just kind of, I hate to make fun of them, but come on, people. Like, you know, not only have many of us been trying to point out the fact that this is exactly what those are meant to do, it just, you know, they kind of just, you know, jokingly say, "Hey, I bet they're always listening." It's like deep down, they kind of knew that was the case. Now, of course, many will no doubt shrug this off as a simple error, a malfunction, as many are so willing to do, eager even, as long as they can carry on with their willful ignorance to the dangers growing around them under the guise of convenience and a better user experience. But this must be an insight into the real danger of the all-consuming, all-pervasive surveillance state being built around us. I take that back, that we are building for them. And surveillance is just one arm of this threat, as we are programmed to ignore our slowly eroding rights, while the faceless, unelected power structure is conditioning the new generations to accept their ability to ignore our inherent rights as just the way of the world, for one benign excuse or another, until that excuse no longer is even needed. But while we still have the ability to connect, to share, to network, we must do so ceaselessly, awakening those trying to ignore this creeping subjugation with every breath, and teach our youth what liberty actually means, as they are conditioned to see it as something altogether foreign to us in this new technocratic society. Teach them what it actually means, and has always meant, to be free. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below, and as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.